Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, folks. This is Dave Schmidt. I'm your host here again tonight on the Sedona Connection here on Blog Talk Radio. Want to welcome you here tonight for everybody listening in. And always just want to thank you, folks, for everybody that's been listening to the radio program. Whether you're listening here live or whether you're listening to the program archived, at any point in time, folks, what I put on the blog site, you can always listen to this program anytime. You don't have to be here live. I love having you on live. I love having the callers call in. And, folks, I'm going to try to get to the callers earlier tonight than normal. Usually what I'll do, I'll take about the first 20, sometimes even up to 40 minutes, going over some of the latest issues, giving you some background, telling you some of the stuff that's going on, giving you my opinion about what I'm seeing developing here in with the currency exchange issue. And then that's when I start going into callers. But I'm going to do that a little bit earlier tonight. So if you want to call in, if you have a comment, you have a question, the number to call in is 646-716-8069. Again, that number is 646-716-8069. And then make sure that you press 1 on your touch tone phone. And then that lets us know that you would like to come on the air. Well, welcome. It is now 6 p.m. We're a couple minutes after here in wonderful, beautiful Sedona, Arizona. The sun is beginning to set. It's still 65 degrees outside. It is perfectly sunny. And for all of you wonderful friends of mine that live up in the Puget Sound in Seattle area, hey, I love you all. I lived there for 32 years. I'm not missing the cloudiness and the rain. But I had something happen just in the last couple of days. We go through our seasons of transition. Well, in Sedona, the big transition is when you quit wearing shorts and short-sleeve shirts and you start going into longer pants and long shirts. Well, folks, today I put my blue jeans on. I had to admit it. Made the transfer, made the conversion. I'm now into blue jean season for probably somewhere around the next 4 to 5 months. But, you know, man, we wear shorts. We wear short-sleeve shirts. We wear sandals. Socks are kind of unknown quantities here in Sedona, this beautiful place here, because I love the weather here. I'm loving, enjoying, you know, being here. This is home for me. And this is called the Sedona Connection. What is so unique? I shared some of it last week. I'll even get a little bit of it tonight because it's different people every week. This is a unique place. We had some friends come through here about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. They were from out of state, and they asked the question, well, what is all this stuff about Sedona? Why is it so unique? Well, here's how I explain it. We all know that the Earth has an electromagnetic shield or an electromagnetic energy that goes around the Earth. And there are places that that electromagnetic energy enters into and comes out of the Earth. Those are your portals. Sedona is one of the portals. It's one of those portal areas. And when you come here, this is called the Red Rock Country. It's some of the most beautiful scenery in the world with the red rocks and the various formations that we have. Well, all of the rocks, the dirt, you know, everything, it's all red because it's filled with iron and copper. Well, both iron and copper are energy conductors. We know that. All of, you know, your cable line you have coming into your house, it's a copper cable, in essence, is what it is. And because the Earth here is filled with so much of that, it conducts the energy of this electromagnetic part of the circles of the Earth. And so the vibration, the energy vibrations in this area are higher. And those of us who live here, we feel it. We notice it. And those that when you live here all the time, you become so accustomed to it. But when I notice it is when I leave the greater Sedona area. That's when I notice it. It's like, huh, it's subtle, but things are a little bit different. So here in Sedona, it's all about the energy. And it attracts people who are sensitive to that, who are aware of that. So there's a lot of people here that live in this area that are what you would call energy intuitives, if that's a bit, you know, a good term to use it. That's what's unique about this area. Okay. Before I keep going on to into the main part of the program tonight, what I want to talk about is the main topic tonight is going to be the budget and government debt crisis. And we understand that there has been an agreement that has been reached. The Senate has voted on the bill. It is supposedly right now is on its way over to the House, and the House will make a vote on it before midnight tonight. And that would be Eastern time, their time, so they're going to vote on it and finish it in the next 3 hours, and then it gets sent on to the president for his signature. And in essence, what it's going to do, it's going to make sure that the U.S. government can still pay its bills. And how is that affecting those of us that are involved with trading dinar, dong, and involved in this currency exchange? I'll get into that in a little bit. What I want to do first is kind of go through some housekeeping measures here for on the radio program. And the first thing is I am looking for 2 to 3 volunteers. What you would basically do is run the switchboard. You do not have to live here with be here with me. You could be anywhere here in the country, anywhere, even in Canada, anywhere in the United States. You need to be available at 6 o'clock Pacific time every Wednesday night, but I actually need you about 20 minutes before then, and to plan that you will, if necessary, go with me for about a half hour after the program is over, if we need to do kind of any kind of after talk on it. You just need to have a good internet connection. That's what I need you to have, because we can communicate with each other during the radio program on Skype. We can use Skype to communicate with each other, and that's what I do have now is some of the, you know, the Penny, who is my absolutely wonderful volunteer who runs the switchboard for me now. And then also I am looking for someone who would like to each week write up what is called a program summary that we can post. Because when the radio program is 2 hours long, and some of you would like to listen into some of the things that take place, you can read through the summary and you can go right to that in the archives and the recording, and you don't have to listen to the whole 2 hours to kind of tap into some specific stuff of what takes place. So I am looking for 2 volunteers, and then also I'd like to have a backup, one to do the switchboard, one to write the summaries. Now, also to let you know, in I think it's 3 weeks, 4 weeks, we switch over to Mountain Time. When that happens, Arizona doesn't change. So that means if you are in Pacific Time at 6 o'clock, it would then be 5 o'clock for you that I would need you, but it stays 6 o'clock here. As the clocks get set back, know that that's going to change as an hour for you as well. But Arizona is the only state in the country that we don't change our clock, so we stay the same. So during daylight saving times, we're on Pacific time, and in the winter, we're on mountain time. So, but a couple volunteers, a couple of the other things. Always, always feel free at any time to send me an email. If you have any questions on all this stuff, it's what I am here for. It's what I want to do to help you out. You can send me an email, 2 different emails, DaveSchmidt@MSN.com or TheSedonaConnection@MSN.com. Okay? Another issue that is coming up, after the reval takes place, it's going to take us at least a couple of months of planning, but we are tentatively planning on having a conference here in Sedona. It's like, what do I do now that I've got all this money? All of a sudden, I become this overnight millionaire of who wants to be a millionaire. We're going to put up some conferences dealing with money management, asset management, wealth protection, things that are similar to that. We'll bring in some guest speakers. We will bring in some CPAs, tax attorneys, et cetera. We will allow those that specialize in that area to come and make a presentation. And we're also will have some inspirational speakers of various sorts. And yours truly, of course, I will be there as well. So, but we're planning on that. But we really don't, we can't really start it until the reval happens. And so we're looking at least 2 months out. So as of now, we're even looking at the earliest it would be is somewhere around late January, early to mid-February. So we'll be doing that. Okay. My blog site, thesedonaconnection.com. the newsletters that I send out. Send me an email and I'll put you on the newsletter list. And always, all of the newsletters that I write, they're all logged in there. They're all the past copies of them. You could anytime go to my blog site, thesedonaconnection.com, and you'll see Dave's newsletters and a link to go there. And I had one other thing come up, and I'm going to make a quick, brief mention of this here on the program tonight. I will be writing on it more later, but I'm going to come right out and say this. Folks, if you're listening to this program and you're financially tight, what I mean is you just plain haven't had any money to be able to purchase any dong or dinar, would you send me an email? I want to do a little bit of communication with you, and I want to make sure that all the parameters are somewhat correct, and I want to send you some dinar. I want you to physically have some dinar in hand so you can participate in this. You can experience the joy. You can be experiencing and participating in the gratitude, the thankfulness, the anticipation, and joining all of us in the prayers to bring this thing about. And folks, there's one other thing I would like to say along with that. If you've got a few extra dollars, consider maybe purchasing some dong or dinar yourself and giving it away. Now, about 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I wrote basically a request, and folks, you were very, very generous, and I want you to know I'm very thankful. My bills are being taken care of, but I basically said, if I'm going to do this full time, I basically need your support. And you did support me, and I'm thankful for that. And I'm turning around, and part of what you had given to me, I'm giving that back. I'm paying it forward. I'm creating what is called doing my part in the circle of giving. As we give, it comes back to us. And so I went and I purchased some of the dinar in the 250 note increments. It'd be like a 250 dinar bill. They only cost you about $2 each. You could spend $20. You could go and buy 10 of those for about, I think it's $19.95 or something like that on the, you know, on the broker, that the dealer broker that I recommend. And again, folks, I think I want to respect any dealer broker that anybody uses. So that's why I'm not going to give the name on the air. If you email me, if you need one, I will give you that name. Their service has always been great for us. I get absolutely nothing out of that. It's just that I know he's a wonderful guy. His name is Abraham. He gives wonderful service. If he's not too busy, you can call him up on the phone and talk with him. They've been kind of swamped the last couple of weeks. But I purchased more dinar, and I'm going to start giving dinar away to people. I have this one lady, young lady, single mom, 28 years old. She had been unemployed, didn't have hardly any money. She just got going back to work, and I was talking to her about, you know, the dinar, the currency exchanged, and I gave her a 250 dinar note, and she just broke down and started crying. She's now participating in the anticipation and in the gratitude for what could be coming her way. It's only $2. You want to change someone's life, someone who is not involved in this, being able to spread the joy and the anticipation? You know, if you've got the money, if you've got an extra 20 or 40 bucks sitting around, make somebody's world. Let them participate in the joy of this, of what's coming our way. It's called the Circle of Giving. I'll be writing an article on that in the next couple of weeks. And also, folks, and I'm just going to mention this once, if you feel so inclined, you know, I'm always willing to receive donations because this is how I keep myself going. And I want you to know, I am not getting extra wealthy on this, folks. I'm basically able to pay my bills to, you know, my rent, food, gas, and keep my phone going, keep the internet program going and stuff like that. I'm not looking for a lot of money. I know mine's coming, and once, you know, the exchange takes place, I'm going to be absolutely fine, just as we all are. But if you're so inclined, you can just go to my blog site and click on the donation tab there. Or even if you got the email about the radio program tonight, there as well. You can just make a donation through PayPal, and you can use a debit or credit card, and I'm always very thankful for that. So, then one other thing. Okay, next Tuesday, I am going to be on a radio program. It's called Hidden Wisdom. Hidden Wisdom. Bernadette is the lady who hosts the program. I will be on the air with her at 5 p.m. Pacific time. And Bernadette is one of those wonderfully talented, gifted psychics. And she has a weekly radio program. And so I'm going to go on the air, and at that program, I'm really going to be able to talk about more of these issues from what I call the esoteric side, the metaphysical or the new age, new thought side, and why I believe this currency exchange is what I am calling the release, the first step of the release of the St. Germain Trust. And I'll go into that, discuss that, talk about it, how it works and what's involved. And so if you want to tune into the program, I'll send an email out to everybody on the email list that I will be on the air there. So, and also, Bernadette, my dear, if you're listening to the program tonight, would you call in? I'd love to have you come on for a couple minutes, and we'll talk about the program that you're going to have on the air for you next week. When we talked, was it yesterday? Boy, I wish I would have remembered that to have you, just to remind you to give a jingle. Call in, Bernadette, if you're available. The number, again, for everybody who wants to call in, 646-716-8069. Again, it's 646-716-8069, and then you press 1 on your touch-tone phone. Now, next thing, I want to go in and I want to touch on a couple of topics that some of you have been sending in on emails with some of the questions, and I'm going to go over just a few of these. One of the questions that people have, there's been the issue coming up, what is all this about the three zeros, deleting the three zeros, as you've been reading on the blog sites, predominantly the Dinar recaps. First, as a reminder, Dinar recaps is nothing more than what I call a compilation blog site. They post stuff from other blogs and bring it all into one place, so you get multiple pictures, multiple perspectives and opinions about what is coming down. There are some people that believe we are not going to get the higher end of the exchange rate, whether it's $3.47 or $27. They believe it's going to be much lower, and that the very first thing that Iraq is going to do is, on their currencies, they're going to do what is called deleting the three zeros. If you have a 25,000 dinar note, it becomes 25. They delete the three zeros at the end. And by deleting the three zeros, what it comes out to is that the dinar comes out at approximately 86 cents versus what we are being told. That is one of the theories that is out there. There are some people that hold to that theory. They believe in that. I don't. Why? Because for decades, the Iraqi dinar always held fair value close to the same as the Kuwaiti dinar. Now, last week, you heard me talk about the history of the reval of the Kuwaiti dinar. It actually took place back in 1990, but it was on a very small scale in contrast to what we're experiencing here. When Saddam Hussein invaded their country, their dinar was dropped down to a value of around 6 cents. After they gained their country back, and I think it was about 6 months after the initial invasion, their dinar was revalued, and it went back to the area, I think it was around 342, somewhere like that. And when I checked at this last, I think it was 2 days ago, the Kuwaiti dinar was at 348. That is why I believe, minimally, the Iraqi dinar is going to be revalued into that same range. Now, the question is it going to be phased in, or is it going to happen all at once? I think it's going to happen all at once. Why? Even if you go to Wikipedia and you look this up, you will find the Kuwaiti dinar by many is considered to be the strongest and most valuable currency in the world because they are a very small country with a lot of oil to sell. So they are a very rich per capita country. Iraq, on a per capita basis, has more oil available to sell on the open market than Kuwait does. And before their currencies was revalued in 1990, their currency was in the 347 range. So it's easy, logical to summarize that their currency is minimally going to come back into that range. And then you've read the blog sites, just as I have, that there's many of them that are believing they're already seeing it on the back screens in the various banks, you know, around the country, that the exchange is going to be very high, somewhere in the 20 plus, some saying are plus 25, some are already reporting it at 28. Various theories around that. I don't want to go into that in detail tonight. You can read about that in reading my Q&A on the blog site about why I feel that is could probable happen. And most of the bloggers are reporting that it's going to be a 30-day window. That's all it's going to be. There's only going to be 30 days. And so here is a probability of what might could possibly happen. The reval takes place. We are given 30 days to exchange our current dinar currency that we have. At that point in time, they may decide to drop to three zeros. And somewhere in when they do that is when they may get their new designation of IQN versus IQD. Now, I talked about that. I wrote about that a little in my latest newsletter. The IQN versus the IQD issue. There's a lot of people that have questions about that. And what I say is the IQN does not exist, folks. Now, there is one foreign exchange site out there that lists it as a future currency, and that is very, very probable that that may come in as a future currency, and that will be a new designation. But as of today, it doesn't exist. But the issue that I brought out on my newsletter was some are saying you have to walk into the bank and you have to make sure you say IQN and don't say IQD. That gives a presupposition that there's going to be two different currency designations for a single currency at the same time, and if you don't say the right thing, you're not going to get the higher rate. That's what to me is just somewhat, it's just not logical, and it's totally out of line with banking procedures, and it sets the banks up for so much huge liability issues where they could be sued. Because can you imagine, let's say, you know, the street rate is $3.47, but from the 30-day window it's at $27, and somebody walks into the bank and they end up saying IQD instead of IQN. They don't give the right secret password, and it makes the difference of those two rates, and it's millions of dollars over whether or not you said the right verbal thing. See, that's what doesn't make sense, okay? So a couple other things that some of the questions that people were bringing up. Where did my list go here that I was talking about? That's it for now. We'll do that. I'm going to do something a little different tonight. Before we get into the issue of the night, which is the primary topic, was talking about what's happening with the U.S. government debt crisis issue and the vote that's taking place tonight. I am going to go ahead and bring on a couple callers first. And folks, again, any questions, any comments, please feel free to go ahead, you know, and call in at any time. Again, that number is 646-716-8069, and make sure you press 1 on your touchtone phone. But I am going to head to our very first caller of the evening. It's a lady from area code 206, which is my old stomping ground of Seattle. And I have Taryn from Seattle on the line. Taryn, how are you tonight?
Hey, Dave. How you doing?
Good. My apologies. I had thought the way that the name was written that it was a lady. Apologies.
Ah, that's okay.
Okay.
I don't sound like a lady, do I?
No, you don't. You sound absolutely wonderful. I was reading the name here on my switchboard, but my apologies. But what's up?
Hey, no worries. Well, I just wanted to connect and say, first of all, thank you for this service that you're providing via your radio station. It's I think is a great benefit to many. I mean, interestingly enough, you know, one of the bodies of work that I personally have studied has been the Sacred Mayan calendar. And I came into a body of information that led me to the understanding that the count that everybody was anticipating ending on the 21st of December 2012 was actually off.
Huh.
And interestingly enough, we are in what they Mayans do a 260-day calendar called the sacred calendar, and we're in the last
right.
calendar of the actual long count now. And we're quite a ways into it. We're actually, it's a calendar that's based on days and nights that are 20-day periods of day and then 20-day period of night. And we're now into what's called the fifth night. And that is a calendar that will, you know, conclude on what's called the seventh day. So, you know, we're looking at about less than 80 days for the conclusion of this. Now, isn't that interesting with, if you tie it all together, with where this whole changeover from a debt-based financial system to an equity-based financial system ties into the unfolding of that calendar overlaid on the, you know, events of the day?
Yeah, yeah. That would be interesting. I mean, that really would. Who was the name, his name is escaping, he was the Swedish biologist that had done that too and had talked about, you know, the long count calendar and the 7 days and et cetera. And because he had actually had it ending it earlier than December.
Yeah, he was 21st. Basing it on a different system, but that was Kalman.
Carl Kalman. Yeah, Dr. Carl Kalman, right. Yeah, he kind of went quiet after that. I haven't heard hardly anything from him since.
Yeah, he had his thing based on the calendar concluding with what was the beginning of the entire creation, you know, prior to a universe, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that that body of work didn't have merit to what he was trying to expound upon, but the Maya, they have counted these long count cycles, you know, very long periods of time. When you add it all up, it's 1,872,000 days. So, you know, that's a long period of time.
Yes,
and we're down
is.
To less. We're down to less than 100 of that particular long count that began sometime in history. And I did some calculations. This is my own calculation, so I don't have validity whether these are accurate or not. But I found something very interesting when I did the backwardation of that from what I've determined to be the end point. And the beginning point and began on September 11th of eons ago. Isn't that interesting?
It's interesting, yeah. You know, David Wilcock has a new book called Synchronicity Key. I'm not all the way through with it yet, but he talks about the cycles of history and how they always repeat themselves. And
exactly.
He says, if you understand that time in itself does not truly exist, back, you know, what Albert Einstein wrote about, understood,
right.
Because time is more holographic than it is linear, and that it's easy to see that there's cycles. So I don't know where the key is in all this, but obviously this reval is a major, major historic shift of the human race on this planet. So obviously
it's
going to line up with some sort of something of that nature somewhere.
Right, right, exactly. And the interesting thing is that over 11 years ago, I was given some information that ultimately led me to, you know, the VND as one of the vehicles for this whole revaluation. And it came before the invasion of Iraq in 2003.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And at the time, I didn't understand it, obviously, because, you know, it made no sense to me. What was this talk about, you know, a particular, you know, single currency? But as the
sure.
years unfolded and all of this began to transpire, it made sense that, okay, so this is what that is pointing to. And also, in that same period of time, right around 2004, I would say, I was given another body of information that said this time period, this October and November time period, was going to be one of the most friction-producing periods of time, if you will, in all of what has been our human experience for this generation, if you want to call it that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're definitely beginning to see the elements of that at play. So that's just an overlay to, you know, everything else that's going on, another level or another, if you want to say, another dimension of perspective that kind of plays into what's transpiring at the moment.
Sure, yeah.
And, you know, but I think the key ingredient at least from my own perspective, you know, I've been at this journey a long time, and you know, I'm on the threshold of crossing over into that total silence of awareness. And that is that, you know, we are transitioning out of one form of economics that historically has been practiced, and we're moving into a new form of economic, and that's going to be a transition into something that has equity, that has value, where historically everything is held, you know, debt or, you know, economic slavery in some people's terms. And so that transition point is where we are. Nobody knows exactly when of that, but, you know, we're in the window of it definitely by now.
Yep.
The thing that
I
would caution people about, you know, I've followed, you know, your recommendation, and I've been reading what the, you know, the Dinar recap says and this and that. And even people who have information and are disseminating it, you know, be very discerning of what you're reading and try not to build hope on based on what they're saying, because nobody knows how this is going to play out. Well, I should change that. There are some who know how this is going to play out, but those people more than likely are not releasing information about the what and the how of how this is going to transpire.
I agree.
So,
I agree with you there on that turn. I think you're right on. We don't really know. There's just a few that do, but it is playing into a much larger picture than what most of us understand.
Right. Well, and the other thing is, I mean, we truly are coming to the end of a cycle. So it makes sense that the economic system that's going to come into play is going to be one that is going to benefit everybody, because we're presently at the tail end. If you use the Eastern Yuga terminology, we're in the Kali Yuga. And the next yuga that follows the Kali is what they call the Sat Yuga, and a lot of people call it the Golden Age. And one of the reasons it's called that is because the humanity's consciousness as a whole steps across the board into a different state of being known as full consciousness, enlightenment. You know, there's many terms for it, Christ consciousness. It's a full spectrum shift from how we experience the unfolding of the human journey. You still remain embodied. You don't leave here in essence. Really all that happens is the sense of our distracting thoughts of our mind become evaporated, and you stand in pure still awareness, which is the true essence of what everything is.
Yep.
And in that state of being, there's a sense of oneness, because you recognize yourself as an individual to be everything, and everybody has that perspective simultaneously.
Yeah. To me, I call it, it's the ego mind that's fading away while the divine mind begins to surface.
It's a transition that is, you know, we're on the cusp of. And so these are, you know, an economic system to set up for the next cycle that's going to kick off another 1,872,000 days. And it's going to be a whole new type of economic that is going to benefit the population as opposed to what we went through in this last cycle.
Well, money is it's one of the most powerful energy forces on the planet. And, you know, and we, in essence, regardless of what part of the world we live in, we have, the vast majority of us have been under a form of an economic slavery or an economic restrictions or economic bondage, however you want to call it. And that's, to me, that's what this is. The reval is the first step of the releasing and being freed. In essence, we're being set free from our slavery in the wilderness, and we're beginning to move out into the promised land, you know, if you wanted to use a biblical metaphor. That's what I see is beginning to take place. But when you're in the middle of history, you don't always see it happening, as though as when you look back and read about it from as an event in the past. But we're right in the middle of it right now.
Oh, yeah, we're definitely in the middle of it. And, you know, once the first domino gets tipped on this, there's going to be a successive of changes, you know, one right after another. But increasingly, the benefit will be seen as those dominoes begin to tip.
You bet. Hey, Taryn, with your experience of what you're doing this, I'm making an assumption that you probably have a website. If you do...
No, actually I don't.
You don't? Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean,
I have a Facebook page, but no, I don't have a website. I choose not to be public about all this because,
okay,
you know,
well, some people do.
Yeah.
I just wanted to give you the benefit of the doubt. If you did, you know, you could share your website with us. But really, thanks for what you're doing. So, okay. Well, I've got a lot more callers than normal lining up tonight, so I should probably move on to some of the other callers. But
okay.
Thanks.
Well,
for
I'm listening
Aaron,
on the phone, so if you'll just mute me,
oh, okay.
That would be great.
Okay, I will. And thanks for calling in. I really appreciate it. And always feel free to call in again.
Always. Bye bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay. Okay, well, that was Taryn from Seattle. He had some really great information for us there. Next, I am going to go on to another caller. She is calling from Oregon, and her name is Joey. Joey, you're on the line with us here tonight. What have you got to share?
Hi. Dave, I want to thank you so much for all you do, first of all. I really appreciate it because I'm so new at this. Anyway, just to get to my question, it's about the group rates on Dinar that you keep talking about. I want to know how it relates to the Dong. And if, because on the website, the GAIA website, they say that you don't need an 800 number to make the exchange. And you said the high rates are with the group rates. And I just needed to know, is the group rates related to the Dong as well?
You don't need for the Dong a 800 number. It's the difference between what I call street rate versus group rate. Now, first of all, understand this is still all speculation, but it's based on the reporting coming from those who basically have the inside intel. And we have much, 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 much more intel on the dinar than we do on the dong. The dong is a currency that is currently tradable on the foreign exchange. So you can take it into a bank and change it today. Okay. The dinar is not there yet. Yeah, and it's basically 21,000 to one U.S. dollar. So you can see, you know, 21,000.
I know. I subscribe to the exchange rate just to see how it goes every day.
Okay.
But
so
it isn't very much.
But, yeah, you could take it in today, and you could get an exchange for today, and you could get your money out of that today is what you could do. So
how would you say wait? Would you say wait on the dong?
Oh, absolutely. You want to wait for the reval. See, the reval is the part of what's called the global currency reset. The Iraqi dinar, the Vietnamese dong, and the Indonesian rupiah are three currencies of 198 currencies around the world, and those three are totally out of alignment with the rest of the currencies. So that's why when this supposed global currency reset takes place, those are the three that are going to explode. And that's why Steve Deco had been recommending the dong. The dong is if it revalues to what people say it is, they think it is going to, it's a better value on the dollar versus the dinar. But the dinar is much, much, much more certain that it's going to revalue. The dong is dependent upon the global reset. The dinar is not. Now, the group rate, the reason for the group rate is instead of walking up to a teller window and exchanging, you have the possibility to go in and have a private setting. And the people that are reporting on the blog sites are saying the dinar, the rate could be as high as $25 to $28 is what it could be. And they're now starting to say it may only be a window for only 30 days. And then the question comes up, well, will the dong be a part of that? And almost all of them are saying yes, but they don't have hard intel on it, but they think it's going to. That's why you want to have that 800 number. If I was you, you know, it could be the difference whether it's 47 cents versus $3 on the dong.
So wait a minute. So would you need the 800 number then after the reval to call in for the dong?
Right, because the 800 number is not released until the reval happens. We don't know what that number is. We have no idea what it is right now. It is something that is going to take place when the reval happens. That's when that number is released. And you can read that, you know, basically when you go through and you read, you know, what has been taking place on the Dinar Recaps blog site. And they're saying that might happen tonight. Because it was all dependent upon
this vote. They say that every night.
That we may get that 800 number tonight. But, you know, but here's the bottom line, Joey.
Okay.
when you call up in that 800 number, and if you tell them all I have is Dawn, and if you tell them how many you have, you want to know what? I don't think they're going to turn you down.
So they will make an appointment with me.
They want your money in their bank.
Okay. What if I go in there and I want it transferred to my bank?
Right. If you are a banker and somebody calls you up and says, I've got $1 million, $3 million, $5 million worth of dong, can I have an appointment with you? Do you think he's going to say no?
Okay.
Of course not.
Okay.
He's going to say, come on in, and he's going to roll out the red carpet for you. He's going to try to give you a reason to keep his money in his bank because that's what he does. He's a banker. I'm using he. It could be a she.
Yeah.
I understand that. They want you having – they're going to roll out the red carpet for you. So, my dear, don't worry about this stuff, okay?
Okay,
most people are making
so
way too much out of this.
I think it's clear in my head now.
Okay, all righty.
Thanks.
Thanks, Joey.
All righty, bye-bye.
Okay, good night. Uh-huh. Yeah, so it's interesting, folks. You know, don't make this more difficult than what it is. They want you. They want your money in their bank. So, okay, we're going to go on to the next caller. I'm going to Denver here tonight and have Rick from Denver. Rick, you're on the line. What can I help you with?
Yeah, hi. I was just my wife's pretty enthused about all this and likes to listen to you guys. And Dave, thanks for taking our call. And I was just wondering, you know, she's really into the denier and the dong. And she's, her and her sister bought a bunch of it. And I've just been aware of it lately. I mean, I knew they had it. And I'm just kind of new to it. And I, you know, was looking up the exchange rate on, and she has dong, not no denier.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, right now, the denier or the dong is worth what per dollar? 20?
Right around 21,000 dong for $1.
Okay.
If you take 21,000
dong,
let's
say 10 million.
$1.
Okay. So if she had like $10 million in dong, that would be worth around what?
You mean 10 million dong?
10 million dong. Yeah.
Well,
and
do
if
the math.
We,
divide
yeah,
21,000 into that, and that's what you'll get.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just divide 10. Okay. So, and we still have to wait. The girl that was on before was asked probably three-quarters of the questions that I was going to ask you because I'm new to it, and my wife's not. She listens to it. And so I was just kind of curious, you know, because, you know, what that would be kind of worth. And you can just go to any bank and exchange it, but it's going to be
yes,
worth a lot more when it
– It will be worth a lot more. But it behooves you to be on that 800 number list and make an appointment. Because you will have access to, now this is all speculation, but it's very highly probable that you're going to have access to a higher exchange rate in the private group exchange versus taking the street rate of going in directly into a bank to a teller window. Okay? You don't
yeah,
want to miss anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rick, I would recommend go back and read my Q&A article. It's an 8-page article. If you need to read through it two or three times, that is answering almost all the questions that you're asking. And I lay it out in that. So go to my blog site, SedonaConnection.com, and you'll be able to click on where it says the Q&A article and just read through that. And you'll be able to see most of it in there.
So the dong is coming up to do the revalue soon, too, or as well as
It's based on the global currency reset, where all the currencies around the world are going to be reset at the same time. And later on in the program, I'm going to talk about how this new, basically the U.S. Debt crisis fits into that and how it plays into that. Because basically what's happening, the rest of the countries around the world are saying, U.S., we can't trust you anymore.
Right.
Your dollar has always been the strongest currency in the world. It is the world's reserve currency. You have so screwed up how you are managing and handling your money. And the vote tonight, all you did was kick the can down the road for 3 months. And you're going to have to face the same exact thing in another 3 months. And we can't trust your currency anymore. So what I think is what's going to happen, the other countries are saying, we want to change the game. We want to go to an asset-backed currencies for all of the currencies around the world. And
right.
I think that's, and I think this is what set the stage for that to happen.
Right.
And I'll talk about that more later in the program.
And where did, what, I mean, with your experience and being that you have, where do you think the dong will kind of end up at? I hear it's going to be 48. What is it on the market? 48 cents?
Well, for years, a lot of people were saying it was going to be in that 47 to 48 cent range. And it's
right.
been in the last couple of months, some of those that are reporting that they're seeing the rates already on the bank screens, that it's close to $3.
Right.
So,
but if
yeah.
you can't go to your bank and cash it in for $3.
No, because that's not the current exchange rate. When
right.
the and I talk about that, Rick, in my Q&A. When the global currency reset happens, Vietnam's dong is going to revalue so it's in balance with the rest of the currencies around the world, and it's going to be based upon their assets that they have in their country. And for Vietnam, they're the second largest rice producer in the world, and the rice is the world's largest food commodity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Plus they have oil and also they have rubber. So yeah.
Yeah, I heard they were getting into oil and more even.
They
All
have
right.
the best
well,
rice
I'm...
growing conditions of anywhere in the world, Vietnam.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you foresee this happening? I know you're saying through all this government stuff that's going on and chaos, do you see this thing happening this year?
I do. And I want folks to know, I don't have the inside intel that the people who report on Dinar Recaps does. So I act as basically as a reporter analyst on this stuff, and I bring in the experience that I have from my background. A lot of them are saying, if not tonight, in the next couple of nights because of the vote that just taken place. If
right.
that doesn't happen, I really don't know. It may take another couple of months of how this is going to play out. I do see this happening minimally in the next 4 to 6 months. But then stuff's always changing, so we just don't know. We just don't
right.
know. And so I've kind of let go of being on the emotional roller coaster of all this stuff up and down. I just says when it's going to be, it's going to be. Because that emotional roller coaster kind of gets after you after a while.
Oh, I know. I've seen it with, my wife's sister turned her on to it, and she got in it. Now she's every day she's reading all those blogs, all the stuff that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Gets overly excited, and I'm like, hey, are you around? Oh, I'm listening to the blogs and all the radio shows and all the talk stuff and this and that. I'm like, come on down. It's just, she's so thoroughly into it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I don't know what her name is, but...
Sandy?
What's it, Sandy? You could jokingly say Sandy, Earth to Sandy, Earth to Sandy.
Yeah, it's Cindy.
Or Cindy, yeah.
Yeah.
It's easy for us to do that. We all do that now, and I did it for a little bit, but I just thought, hey, I don't want on this emotional roller coaster anymore, so I'd rather be stable and just let it come about, so, yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Well, you're in it then, right? You've invested.
I have. Yes,
right.
I have. So, mm-hmm.
Well, good. Okay. Well, I thank you for your time, and I appreciate it. And you've answered some questions for me. And good luck. And Cindy really respects your show, and you do a good job. So we really thank you, and you have a good night.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Okay.
All right.
Folks,
take care.
I am going to bring on the air here now a friend of mine that I'm so thankful, and I'm really glad that he called in. It's Jeffrey West, and he is the host of Cosmic Vision News radio program. Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
good evening, Dave. Thanks. I'm doing well.
Hey,
thank you.
Glad you called in, bud.
Well, thanks.
Yeah, glad to have you here.
I should give you the background. The listeners probably should know in the background I had sent a Skype message to you while you were on the air. I had forgotten you were on the air tonight, and you had asked me to call in, and I'm listening to some of the callers, and I'm thinking, gosh, what am I going to be able to contribute to the show here? I don't know.
Oh, Cosmic Vision News. Have you been reporting any of this stuff on your radio program?
Well, to tell you the truth, I took a little bit of a break over the last couple of weeks. I actually didn't put on a newscast, partly because there's so many energies that are coming across the planet, and those listening to your show and following many of the blogs will understand what I'm talking about when I say there's so many energies happening. And I'm not just talking about 3D, but of course the Gaia energies, the universe energies, the multiverse
yes.
energies are impacting us in so many ways, and that ties in a little bit to everything that we're experiencing over this week with government stuff and financial stuff. So it's so I really needed a little bit of a breather, but at the same time, I'm working with a few people to try and launch Cosmic Vision News Television. And
yeah.
I hope to have a video newscast available in the coming moments of now.
Oh,
but
that would be great.
That's not the question you asked.
Well, Jeff, you're always welcome. Yeah.
No, I have been keeping a bit of an eye on everything that's going on. And as I'm always very careful to tell my listeners, try not to get too wrapped up in the drama, because the energies that are coming out are both positive, but at the same time, it polarizes those who are still hanging on to negative energies. And it's those negative energies that are coming out that need to come out in order to be healed. And it's creating the hype, it's creating the fear, it's creating the whole series of events that people who are not grounded in higher vibrations, they will be drawn into this drama. So for those who are grounded in the higher vibrations, I certainly and gently urge people to just stay the observer. Try not to overreact to whatever news you see happening. Just observe it, and wherever possible, just bring love and light to it. And that, I think, really is the most important thing. It's all about discernment at this point. And I'm like everyone else. I have my challenges in trying to report on the events, because I see what the mainstream media, or maybe I should call it the lame stream media, you know, they're putting out all kinds of scenarios of fear right now. We're seeing the false flag events coming out, and we're seeing now this week with the U.S. government the grandstanding that's going on, and it raises a lot of questions. And even I have to admit, I'm a bit confused, because I don't know the U.S. system, but certainly the politicians are no strangers to using grandstanding to string things out to the very last moment so that people will perhaps see them as heroes. And this is where your experience comes in, and I think this is what we were going to start talking about a little bit this evening, how the grandstanding fits in with everything that could be unfolding over the next week or two or month.
Yeah, you know, Jeff, there's a possibility that this may end up, the budget crisis may be a blessing in disguise, and I touched on that with the previous caller, is
mm-hmm.
what this has done. It's raised the opportunity for the rest of the countries around the world to say, United States, we don't want your dollars, the reserve currency anymore, and that paves the way for the global currency reset. And what I was going to talk about is the difference between a chaotic transition versus an orderly transition in that currency reset. And I'll get into that later in the program. But if the reval was to happen today, it would create a chaotic shock. The stock market would be shocked, because people aren't expecting this. They're going to say, what just happened? What is this? Why didn't we see this coming? Why didn't you tell us? News media, why didn't you tell us? Congress, why didn't you tell us what was going on? You've obviously been involved in this. Mr. President, why have you been silent about all this? So it creates shock. It creates a shock reaction. And that creates a lot of negative energy out there that puts it out there, you know, into our world and into the universe. The other side of the coin on that is this now gives way for the other countries around the world to say, we want to change. China made that statement 2 days ago. China made a statement for the first time saying, United States, we don't want your dollar anymore as the world reserve currency. We can't trust you. And that could be the first step where other countries start coming on board, and then the media may start picking this up saying, we can't keep doing this, because this vote today is only kicking the can 3 months down the road. And we're going to face the same thing again in 3 months. And in this interim period, it could possibly be that the other countries saying, we need a change. We're going to step up. We want to do this together. We want to do it collectively. We want to go back to asset-backed currencies. And it paves the way for an orderly global currency reset to take place. And then our reval just fits in with that. And that doesn't create so much shock. So you have a peaceful, orderly transition versus a chaotic one. That's kind of what I see. See, if this doesn't happen in the next few days, there is a probability that that is the stage that's developing it to take place. And I would rather have a peaceful, orderly transition, because chaos only sets us back in our evolving process of raising our own vibrational energies here on the Earth. Because there's 7 billion of us here on the planet, and we forget about that. And it's always a collective issue. And to where if it's peaceful and orderly, it's all of a sudden the people start realizing, oh, well, that makes sense. Yeah, we do need to do that. We do need to go back to a gold-based currency, do we? I'm tired of all this inflation. I'm tired of being all these going through these ups and downs of the economy, and I'd rather have things more stable. See? And so there is a possibility that this has played into the hands to allow that to happen.
Hmm.
We'll see more.
Now let me throw this possible scenario out to you. Certainly those who follow the Golden Age of Gaia and some of the more spiritual blogs and websites may be familiar with messages from our galactic and celestial families that have said that we've had a 9-month reprieve, so to speak. Their events were supposed to unfold 9 months ago, but an extension was granted so that humanity would have a greater opportunity to try to awaken more and bring more people into the fold. Have we reached a point, possibly, where some of the shock may be unavoidable? In other words, if we start seeing some, I mean, many of us who are following this already know that there have been arrests taking place, there have been people who have resigned. Things are starting to work their way out into the media. But have we possibly hit a point where we're at a level where we may not be able to avoid certain shocks at this point?
You know, it's possible, Jeff. And I think, you know, those are the two sides of that coin of the transition. And sometimes the shock produces a good thing because it wakes people up. Because most of the times when people begin to wake up, there's usually some sort of a traumatic or shocking experience in their life that kicks that off and starts it. Because mm-hmm. it makes them think differently. So there is, on the other hand, there is value to a shock. Ask me which is going to happen. I have no idea. There's positives on both sides.
You know? No, absolutely. No, for sure.
You see, based on my years of, you know, being a market trader, if the reval would happen today, the market would get shocked. Markets want certainty and stability. That's what they want. And this creates a kind of a panic fear situation. And a lot of people will begin to pull their money out of the market because, uh-oh, I don't know what this is. This is too dramatic, too chaotic. The market is starting to drop. I'm pulling money out and going to set it on the side until the dust settles on this thing. Because when the market starts to drop, a lot of trading now is done by automated computers at key checkpoints. So it could create a very fast cascading effect. It's like, you know, it begins a snowball effect of what it does. And there could just end up in a ton of selling, and we could see a very fast drop in this market, in our stock market. And we forget that, I don't know what it is in Canada where you live, Jeff, but here in the United States, almost 60% of the Americans have money in the stock market, and it's through their 401k retirement accounts. It's in the market. So this affects a lot of people. And, you know, they went through the shock from the crash back in 2008 that went on for about 7 months before it hit bottom. And this one could be have something that could happen much more quicker. But it could also be a thing that would wake people up. And we just don't know.
Well, certainly, yeah, definitely. And, I mean, those that are in the market probably already have some idea. They must be getting and hearing certain things that are going on. And as the cabal gets neutralized more and more, I mean, we're starting to hear reports coming out of some financial sources saying that the cabal have had 5 or 10 second leeways worked into the coding, into the algorithms of trading, so that certain people are given priority heads up to do their electronic trade ahead of a turbulent market event. So
yes.
That has to be shut down or neutralized or exposed or all three, in order to prevent the cabal from capitalizing on this particular event.
Well, they manipulate the stock market. This is not your father's stock market anymore, and I can go into that, and I don't want to go into that in depth here tonight. But with their multiples of billions of dollars, they have the ability to manipulate the market. Now, what they do, they move it up and down, and they make their money by moving it up and down. But yet it still slowly grows so that the masses are peaceful and feeling good. The Dow was up 150 points today. Oh, that's a good day for me. So they'll take it up 300 points and then drop it down 200, you know. And they play both sides and they make money off both sides. And they do that with their billions of dollars and being able to also have these super high-speed computers, and they build their algorithms into it to be able to just be making money on the market left and right. And where they really do it is they manipulate the futures prices in the off hours. Because let's say when the market opens, you know, in the morning, it's 9:30 on the East Coast, 6:30 on the West Coast, and let's say the Dow opens down 50 points. Well, it's because during the middle of the night, the futures market set that stage to make that happen.
Yeah.
And you can manipulate the futures market in off hours with a couple billion dollars in a heartbeat. Easy, very, very easy to do. So
wow.
So it's, and they're pros at it, and they make a lot of money doing that. Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
They make a lot of money.
Well, I guess the next trick will be to see how this plays out with some of the Western governments, and whether or not some of the leaders will be lawfully removed from their positions. I'm certainly counting on the Canadian leader being removed from his position.
Yeah. A little more problematic on our side in the U.S. of, you know, there's all the stuff about wanting to restore the republic and you got to get rid of, you know, all the elected officials. Well, I'm saying, well, how do you do that? And they are constitutionally protected. They can't be removed from office unless they are, even if they committed a felony crime, they can't be removed for committing a felony crime. They can't be removed from the office itself. They have to basically be, I'm trying to remember what it is. There's a form. They can be voted out by their colleagues. You can be removed by your colleagues. It's, if I remember right, though, it's never happened in the history of the United States because, see, you're elected by the people, and only the people can unelect you. But once you are in your term, you're locked into for that term. Now, you can resign. You could go to jail and not fulfill your office, not be able to do it. But as long as until you voluntarily resign or leave, you're there until your term's up. So it's a pretty difficult thing to take a massive number of people, elected officials in the United States, and just replace them. And some people are saying, well, that's what's going to happen when the republic is installed. Well, I says, well, how are you going to do it? I don't know. Are you going to violate the Constitution?
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, how are you going to do that? So,
You're exposing corporation, though, using the commercial system of admiralty law, that has different applications, does it not?
It does, but it's difficult to understand that. Admiralty law can't just come in and override the Constitution. It has to work in conjunction with it. When people say that we don't have a republic, the Constitution is still there. It's the financial side of it that has been lost. And they came in and overlaid the existing Constitution and took over the financial part of it, and that does affect a lot of stuff. But the basis of the Constitution is still there. It didn't go away. And so when they say that there's the need to bring in the new republic, most of it is you need to basically get rid of the Federal Reserve and shift those duties over to the U.S. Treasury and now put it back under the control of the elected officials, totally, versus the Federal Reserve.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting indeed. Okay.
Okay.
Well, those have some food for thought, but I certainly don't want to take time away from your listeners. So by all means,
I'll
let you get back to them, and I'll hang on in the background, and thank you for your insights.
Thanks, Jeff. Glad you called. Okay.
All right. Have a good night.
Yes. Okay, I'm going to continue on with callers, and I am going to bring in a caller who was very close there to where Jeff lived, and it's Jay, and you're calling from Toronto. Jay, what's your question tonight?
Actually, the questions have varied a little bit. First of all, I wanted to say and echo what the sentiments are from the other callers. You do great work, and I really appreciate all the insight and information that you're sharing. So,
thank you.
Several questions now. So I didn't really realize that the dong also has a parallel, if you will, between a group rate and a street rate. Is that what you were alluding
yes.
to when you
well,
said from the 47 cents to the $3?
Yes, but now remember, it's speculation, but it's what's being reported on the Dinar blog sites, and it's based on what they say is their inside intelligence, okay? So, yeah, but they say there's a very high probability that the dong may get the higher rate as well.
Oh, interesting. Now, the second part of that is this just for the U.S., or is this group rate also any way that a Canadian, somebody in Canada that has dong can partake of this?
Well, Jay, I am not familiar with anywhere in Canada where those private group settings through the 800 number will take place, because it was individuals within the United States that did this on their own initiative. They basically knew that they had access to a high number of people. So this started by different individuals going and setting down and working out an agreement with Wells Fargo to be the escrow agent. So as of now, I don't have any other information, but as of now, it's only available to those – it's only taking place in the United States. That does not mean that you could not come across the border and get the higher rate.
Right, I'd have to talk to a tax lawyer.
Right. Now, remember, we don't know the details. I don't know the details, but if I was in your shoes, I'd plan on it. Let's just put it that way, okay?
I'm sorry, plan on?
Plan on the fact that you're going to have to come down south across the border.
Okay, all right.
To get the higher rate.
Right.
And
but the other...
make sure you are familiar with what the specific laws are about moving money across the border and what it's going to take. Now, for those of you in Canada, a good thing to do is there are a couple banks, large Canadian banks, that have what are called cross-border accounts. TD Bank does and Royal Bank of Canada does. They have what is called cross-border accounts. You can open up a bank account in Canada and in conjunction that's tied to it, open up what is an American bank account. And so you have that money put into the American bank account, and then you can easily transfer your money back and forth. I don't know all the details. I just know that they have that service available.
Oh, okay. And the other question, and you may be talking more about this later, it's conceivable that the dinar can revalue a loan, and it would be separate from the global currency revaluation. Is that what
yes.
I understood from you talking earlier?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because, see, here's almost all of the intel that we have coming out is based on the dinar. We get very little intel for the dong. And the dinar could revalue on its own without a global currency reset. The dong is based on a global currency reset, all of them resetting at the same time. That's the only way the dong is going to go up in value. But the dinar could do it by itself.
Is there any pressure on the dinar to do it by itself because of the significant benefit that the U.S. government would get from its, the trillions of dinar that they currently have?
Yeah, and there are a lot of people that, when you read the Dinar Recaps blog site, there are some people that hold that theory, that it's basically going to be just a dinar issue and it's not going to be a global currency reset, and that's the only thing that's going to take place. And they even think that the rates are going to be much lower. The rates may only be around 80 cents up to $1.10, and they think it's going to come in and phase in slowly. I don't hold that myself personally, but, you know, they're entitled to how they view it and how they see it. I think there's going to be a global currency reset because the people who hold those lower rates and hold the dinar only, very few of them fit into what we would call the esoteric or metaphysical camps.
Right.
They don't come from that perspective at all.
Exactly.
Those of us that do, we see this, a lot of us see this as the first step of the release of the St. Germain's Trust. And if you understand,
mm-hmm.
you know, those
yes.
those thousands of trillions of dollars in gold that's held by the Dragon family in China that's backing all this up.
Okay. Great. Dave, thank you very much again, and I will now continue listening and look forward to all the additional or wealth of information that you're going to give us.
Thanks, Jay. I really appreciate it. Okay. Have a good evening.
Bye.
Okay. Yeah. And folks, I just want to mention to you, Jeff West, who we just had, he just sent me a Skype message. And he says he's heard speculation that Royal Bank of Canada and TD, which is Toronto Dominion, that they will be participating in this. But he says it's all speculation. Jeff, if you get that information, I'm sure everybody would love to know. I would love to know. And because there's a lot of folks, from Canada, you listen in on all these calls. You're on my email list. You're also on the Golden Age of Gaia list. And so it would really be wonderful for you Canadians that you would have possibility on the north side of the border with our cousins up there. Okay. All right. We're going on to another caller here. And I'm going to area code 270 in Kentucky. And I have Diane here on the air with me. Diane, welcome. How are you tonight?
Hi, David, and thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I want to say thank you for all you're doing and just bless every effort that you're making. We appreciate it. I have some concerns about this non-disclosure agreement that is kind of going around on the same boards about that the banks are going to make us sign these non-disclosure agreements. And I wondered if you have any insight into that and you could share that.
Sure. And Diane, and also you and all the other listeners, I go into much more in-depth in it in my last two newsletters that are on my blog site. In fact,
okay.
I was the one that kind of really brought up the issue that this non-disclosure agreement is really pretty ridiculous. Now, one of the primary bloggers has been reporting that it's coming forward, and I am not going to be here to be in disagreement with him. He is the messenger. He has access to the intel. He says that he has seen them, and I would probably say he's probably right. And, yes, there may be a very high probability that it may come out. But my basis is, based on what he reported, the reason is they want to keep us quiet, all the people who get this money, because in essence they want to protect, because it may create some chaos, confusion, and riot by the other 99%. So they need to keep it quiet to protect us. And my basis is there's no way you can keep this quiet. Absolutely no way you can keep this quiet. That NDA is totally unenforceable. And to me, it's also unconstitutional, because you are taking what are the normal historical banking procedures and operations and now saying you have to zip your lip. That, to me, is a freedom of the First Amendment or the freedom of speech. So now, what would happen if they say, one of the lead bloggers says, if you don't sign it, you don't get to exchange? Well, everybody needs to make their own personal decision on that. I am not going to tell folks one way or the other. I'm not even going to suggest to you one way or the other. I can give you some pros and cons on both sides of the issue. And I am willing to do that. But you have to make your decision for yourself for what's best for you. Now, based on what is reported, and he actually put it in print, one of the primary bloggers, he says that you will have to sign this, and you can talk to people who have exchanged, but you can't talk to people who haven't exchanged. And this is being enforced not by the banks, but by the Department of Homeland Security.
Yeah.
And my impression off of what I read is you are giving the Department of Homeland Security permission to have access to your bank financial records for 10 years.
Mm.
Now, based on what he said and reported, that's how I summarize that. But this is just so ridiculous. It cannot be enforced. And here's the illustration I gave in my newsletter. Say there's a husband and wife couple. They go in. One of them cashes in, exchanges, the currency, signs the non-disclosure agreement, but the spouse does not. The other one doesn't. Well, the other one didn't sign anything, and they're free to talk about whatever they want, whenever they want, wherever they want. You see, it's legal issues behind it. Now, what I also said is, in my newsletter, is a single federal judge could step in and tell Department of Homeland Security you have stepped beyond the bounds of the U.S. Constitution. You cannot enforce this. It's null and void. One judge can do that. But it does take somebody to get an attorney to be the client that is being represented before the Department of Homeland Security and the judge. And I have said, I don't know this, I'll make my decision when it happens. I have said if it's necessary, I may be that person. If it's the difference between $3.50 and $27, yes, I'll do it. And even, and I may even still sign it if it's there, because it's very probable it could be enforced and you have to do it. And in a very short period of time, it would be overturned. I just think that there's 99%+ probability it would be eventually overturned. So am I willing to give up that much? That's a risk that I'm willing to take. I'd probably go ahead and sign it if I'm forced to, if I don't have a choice. And if it's the difference between $3.50 versus $27, I probably would. But I'm not going to worry about it, its implications on me. Because if I have that much money, I have the money to hire a very good attorney to defend myself if they try to after me.
Very true.
And I'll fight him on it. I'm not afraid of it. So.
Well, but even if we're under a non-disclosure, there's going to be other signs that this is taking place. It's going to be very evident.
Absolutely. You see,
it's feasible to try to quiet those that do have foreign currency when you'll be able to see it in the stock market or deficit being cut in half or whatever other form it's going to manifest.
Well, I mean, Diane, this could be one of the biggest financial cover-ups ever in the history of the world. And do you think the media is going to just stay absolutely quiet on this thing? No, they're not. And the non-disclosure agreement is totally unenforceable outside of the U.S. boundaries because it's only a United States legal document. And the Internet knows no boundaries. We talk with people all around the world all the time on the Internet. So you see, when a non-disclosure agreement is put into place, you have to specify in the agreement what is the purpose and the reason of you being silenced. They have to give a reason. And the reason they're saying is Department of Homeland Security is doing this for security measures within the United States because we need to protect these people. It's totally unenforceable. It's totally ludicrous and unenforceable.
Okay.
And, you know, how am I supposed to know if I'm talking with somebody whether or not they have or have not? And I even said this last week on the radio program. Can you imagine this? You know, who knows, hundreds, thousands of people listening to this radio program. And folks, for all those of you that did not sign that non-disclosure agreement, I need you to go off the air so you don't hear what I'm going to say right now.
Exactly.
Do you see the ludicrous, how ludicrous that is?
Yes.
It's just so ridiculous.
It doesn't make sense. And the
it
other thing
doesn't.
I'm hearing as well is that the currency exchangers, the places where you can buy foreign currency that are going to be exchanging, not banks, they're not there. They don't have any non-disclosure agreements to be signed.
That may be true, Diane. Let's say you go into a currency exchange window in an airport. Well, you're not going to be able to exchange millions of dollars of currency there because they don't have the capability of doing that. They don't carry. See, when you exchange this money, you are not going to walk into a bank, whether it's at the teller window or a private meeting, and exchange it, and they're going to give you millions of dollars of cash back. They're just not going to do that.
Right.
They're
going to
either give
you
a cashier's check or put it into an account. That's what they're going to do. Okay. Now, so if you go up to an exchange window at a currency exchange outlet in an airport, you could do a small amount, but you're not going to be able to do millions of dollars because they don't have the capability to do that. I could be wrong. I don't think they're going to give you a cashier's check, though. They usually, those places are small amounts of exchange of cash for cash. They are set up for people who are traveling to various countries around the world so you can have the currency of that country either when you enter or exit the country. And how would you do that in those settings? Now, again, Maybe they do have cashier check capability. I don't know. And, you know, you may want to check it out. You might want to check it out. You might want to go up there with a very small currency and see and test it before you go into the bank appointment.
Yeah.
See, a lot of this stuff, we just aren't going to know what's happening until it happens.
Right.
We just aren't. So.
Right. Well, thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you for calling. That's a really big important question that a lot of people are asking. So appreciate you bringing that up, Diane.
Thank you very much.
You know, Diane, if I could say this to everybody else, the biggest thing is don't worry. Just don't worry. You know, plan out in advance a probable, what I would call list of actions for you personally, and, you know, do the old, what they call, you know, the T statement, you know, get a piece of paper out, put a big T on there, on one side write all the reasons why do it, and then on the other side all the reasons why not. Inform yourself, prepare yourself for when it comes, so when it happens, you can make a good decision. Because we've been told that they aren't going to release these non-disclosure statements to us in advance, which means we're going to have to sit down and read whether it's either the 20-page or the 6-page document, and some people are going to want to bring their lawyer in with them. You know, and they take 3 hours to go through it and nitpick the whole thing before they can make a decision. It's one of those things, again, that's just so stupid.
Yeah,
the banks don't have time for you to sit down and read, spend 4 hours reading through this thing to make a decision. Now, maybe they may set it up where they will send you off to another room where you can read it, and then when you're ready, come back. You know, they may, but it will really slow the process down. You know, you can't get a hold of that document in advance. And if you are going to want to bring in an attorney with you, the attorney's going to go through it tooth and nail, you know. It's going to be different for everybody, and everybody needs to make their own decision.
Right.
Okay?
Yes. Thank you so much.
Great. Thanks for calling, Diane. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Okay, good night. Yeah. Okay, folks, remember, if you want to call in, the number is 646-716-8069, and you want to know what's happened. Is I had a whole bunch of list of callers on there, and they kind of dropped off, because I think what happens is their questions get answered as we are going through the evening, and I think that's what's happened with a lot of folks. So what is it? What's going on in Congress here in the United States right now? Would you please excuse me? I need to get a drink of water, folks, so... Thank you for allowing me to take that little bit of a break there. What is it that's going on with Congress right now? Well, they did come to a resolve today, and I'm not going to get into the politics of it. You don't want me to do that. I could go on forever around that because, you know, most of you folks know I used to be a state senator. I spent 20 years of my life in politics, 12 years in the Washington State Legislature. But they came to an agreement. And it was even this afternoon on the blog site saying, well, I think maybe the House is going to vote on the bill first. No, it's a Senate bill, so the Senate votes on it first. And they've done that. That happened just before we started here on the show tonight. The Senate voted it, and then they send the Senate bill over to the House. And then the Speaker of the House did put out a press release that he's going to release the bill to be voted on up or down by the full body, you know, in whatever way that they want to vote. And with that, they know they'll have the votes for it to pass. And then it goes on to the president to be signed. But all it is, and here's the scoop. A lot of the writers on the blog sites have been saying this is the thing that's been holding it up, this budget issue and the deficit and the debit crisis that the United States government is involved in. And they have basically, all it is, it's a temporary stopgap measure. It's good for 3 months, and in 3 months they're going to have to face this thing again. But you heard me talk about it a little bit earlier, and I want to go into two probable scenarios that could play out. And there's pros and cons on both sides of what this to take place. Let's say the reval was to happen today, and before this bill was passed, this is an item that's basically had an organized media blackout on it. There's only about 1% of us in the country are participating in this. Most of the people are totally ignorant, or they think it's a scam and they don't want anything involved in it. So here in the United States, about 99% of the people out there are not participating. If this reval happened and the dinar is at $25 to $28, we've got literally 3 to 4 million people here in the United States that are going to not just become overnight millionaires, but they're going to become double-digit overnight millionaires, which means they're going to have more than $10 million. That is going to create some commotion. It also has the potential to create a chaos or a chaotic reaction. It will create a shock to the stock market. It will create a lot of people, a lot of anxiety in a lot of people. And they're going to be saying, what's going on? And a lot of people are going to be upset. And they're going to be asking lots of questions. And they're going to be saying to their members of Congress, why didn't you tell us? They're going to be saying, Mr. President, when did you first know about this? When did you know this was coming down? Why didn't you tell us? Why didn't you inform us that this was possibly coming down? The media is going to go hog wild on it because they can't ignore it, chaotic response that it makes. And so it's what's called a chaos reaction. Now, from a position of spirituality, there's a positive side to that. And the positive side is people sometimes are shocked to bring them to a point of being awakened. That's the positive side. But you're also setting the stage where there's a 99% that are going to be in chaos, shocked, angry, upset, and may want to retaliate against the 1% of us that all of a sudden got $10, $20, $30, $40 million. I'd be upset. I would, if I found out that that happened. Because, see, all of a sudden now, we've become the private insiders, and they're going to be wondering, well, why did you get it? Why was it you? How did you get this, and I wasn't able to participate in it? Can you see the negative, angry, chaotic reaction that could happen with literally a couple hundred million people, and they can direct that toward us? That's a possibility. That is one of the reasons why, supposedly, they want to enforce this NDA, because they say they, quote, don't want it out there. It's because they want to protect us. Now, what's the other side of that? The other side is, remember, there's approximately 160 nation coalition that has been building quietly to do this global currency reset. If this budget issue that just took place, this could possibly be setting the stage for an orderly, peaceful transition to take place. How? 2 days ago, China came out with a press release and said, United States, we don't trust your U.S. dollar to be the reserve currency of the world anymore because you're just on too much shaky ground. Because the United States, if you went one more day, you would have to start defaulting on your loans. And the United States, we the government of China have trillions of dollars of your bonds that you could default on. And the United States, the credit rating agencies, if you default on your bills, they're going to start dropping your credit rating. And United States, what we're saying is your currency is not trustable. It is not trustworthy anymore. We cannot trust you. And they're saying, United States, your government leaders have not taken responsibility. We don't trust you with our money because your currency determines and has impact on the financial well-being of all of the countries around the world. So United States, there's a whole lot of the other countries around the world we want to change. Can you see that scenario developing? And this is the catalyst that has brought that about. that sets the stage for the other countries to say, we want to change. And this is an open issue, and the media begins to report there's a need for a change. And the media starts putting out stories saying, oh, guess what? We are going to have a global currency reset. That is the thing. And in this global currency reset, we're going to go to asset-backed currencies. This could be done 1 week, 2 weeks, 5 months, 6 months, a year. But the issue is, it's now going to come, it has the potential to bring it out into the open, to educate the public of the world, to let them know that something's coming on the way. So when the reset happens, it can bring about an orderly and peaceful transition versus a chaotic one. Personally, myself, I'd rather see the orderly, peaceful one. Because here's the situation. If a global currency reset takes place, and all the focus is on that, those of us that participated in the dinar and dong exchange, as those currencies explode, we were just the benefactors of a bigger picture. And now all of a sudden there is diversion in what took place, and we aren't the targets. And what does that mean? We get to have all the benefits of an NDA without subjecting ourselves and submitting ourselves to the Department of Homeland Security. And it's a peaceful transition, it's an orderly transition, and it's an orderly reval, and we just kind of become overnight millionaires. Yeah, there'll be some news reports about it, but they will see it so differently because there was a greater picture of what was taking place in the bigger issue. Do you follow that, folks? And I wonder, I don't have all the answers on this. I don't have all the answers. But I am wondering if this is a part of a divine direction for us in having that orderly and peaceful transition. It does mean it's going to take a little longer. But here's what I think. We're going to know more within the next week. Most of the blog writers, the good ones, have been saying probably tomorrow night because of the vote that's taking place. And one of them even came right out and said today, right after the president signs it, the 800 numbers are going to be released. That could be great. It could be very probable. It could also be that this news around that could be creating a diversion that might possibly happen. There's a possibility that that is so. We won't know it until it happens. That's the issue. We're not going to know until it happens. But there is a possibility that it could happen in the next couple of days. But if it doesn't, and almost all of the major blog writers are saying everything is done, everything has taken place that needs to be taken place, we're just waiting for the decision makers to in essence, push the button, if you want to use that term, and their 800 numbers are released. And that is all that they are waiting for. So, yes. Okay, I just had a text come in. The House signed the bill, and it's on the way to the president, according to MSN. So it looks like it's already going to be done. But that was a foregone conclusion. We already knew that the House was going to vote on the Senate bill and it was going to go to the president. So the report is it just did happen. So that has happened. We can in essence say that it is going to take place. That but remember, it's only a temporary stopgap for 3 months. That's the thing we have to remember. This didn't solve everything. It didn't make everything go away. It's only a temporary 3-month measure. And so we just don't know what's going to happen. It could be it's going to end up delaying the reval for 3 months. We just don't know. We'll know more in the next couple of days. I would say, folks, you want to stay tuned. Read the blog sites. But I want to give just a little word. Know and understand they come from all over the place. They have different opinions. Some of them have been saying for months, it's tonight, 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 and it puts you on an emotional roller coaster. Folks, when you read that, read it with a grain of salt. Read it with, I don't want to say skepticism, but don't get yourself up emotionally involved in it. let it be. Let it just come. It's going to happen. It's only a matter of time. It will happen when it's ready to happen. But I'm a believer that it's going to happen when we allow ourselves to not get so caught up into the emotional drama. And it's the collective energies of when we just focus on the reveal happening. Focus on that. It's law of attraction principles. It's, if you understand quantum physics principles of the power of the observer, how we observe things, that we change things and bring them into existence through our thoughts, picture it in a peaceful, orderly, powerful transition that it's just going to happen. And we don't have to bow to fear. Fear is the enemy of the soul. Fear is the opposite of love. Fear is what keeps us in bondage more than anything else. And so what I would ever say is let go of the mind drama and don't worry about this stuff. Because all you do is when we do that, we just create our own problems. So, okay, folks, I think I'm going to be ready to wrap up tonight. There's not a lot more that I want to go on. I don't have anybody here in line that is wanting to call in and chat. Unless you call in, you better call in the next 30 seconds if we're going to keep going. Other than that, I think I'm about ready to do a wrap-up here tonight. I want to touch on, again, some of the things that I talked about earlier in the program, kind of the housekeeping things. Again, the email, thesedonaconnection@msn.com or daveschmidt@msn.com. Take a look at my blog site. I would encourage you to go back and read the newsletters there. If you want to be on the newsletter list, send me an email. I'll put you on the newsletter list. I'm looking for a couple volunteers to run the switchboard and to write a summary each week. Next Tuesday night at 5 o'clock Pacific time, I'm going to be on a radio program called The Hidden Wisdom. And so I will be there. I had talked about early in the program, if you have a little bit of extra money, go buy some dinar dong, $20, $40 in the smaller denominations, and give it away to people that you know that either can't afford it or that they're kind of, you know, they're just right on the edge and they wouldn't do it on their own. Bring them into the fold. I guess if that's the word term to use, bring them in to participate with us. Start what is called the circle of giving. Give and it shall be given unto you. Law of attraction. What you give out comes back to you. That could be one of the things that you would call in what is called energetic issues, how the energy is released to have this money coming back unto us. You want to do that. And also, folks, if you find it within yourself to make a donation to what I do here, I would appreciate that as well. But, you know, I have had a couple people call in and say, yeah, they want to talk. So, Penny, I know you're on the air with the person from 757 area code. I am going to go ahead and come on in right now and bring that person on the air. Hello, here you are. This is with Dave. I know Penny was working with you. She was kind of getting you, but I thought, okay, I'd go ahead and bring you on the air. Give us your name and where you're from.
This is Barbara from Virginia.
Hi, Barbara. How are you tonight?
Good, good. So good. I was listening earlier in the program, and you mentioned some things about the IQN and the IQD. And I missed a little bit of the program, so I'm sorry if you already addressed this. But I think you said the IQN was not the actual currency at this point. It's projected currency or something like that, and the IQD was the actual currency right now. Did I understand that right?
Yes, right. See, every currency has a three-letter nomenclature designated.
And but then you said if we go into the bank, when this happens and we go to a bank, we want to ask for the IQN, not the IQD, and that kind of threw me. I didn't quite understand why it would be that way.
Well, supposedly the IQN is going to be the new designation. They're going to redesignate the Iraqi dinar.
Okay.
And IQN will be the new designation. But there are people reporting on the blog sites that you go in, you have to say IQN. And my perspective was, wait a minute. And I wrote about this last week in my newsletter, and I encourage you to go back and read the newsletter so you can get the full picture in this. From a legal perspective, see, that scenario saying that you have to ask for IQN and don't say IQD, it makes a presumption that there are two different nomenclature designations for a single currency. That cannot legally exist. You're going to take that in, and it doesn't make any difference whether you say IQN, IQD, say nothing. They're going to take that Iraqi dinar, and they're going to exchange it at the exchange rate. Now, if you're in a private setting, and if you feel it's more comfortable for you to say IQN, then say IQN. My basis for what I wrote was people are saying this stuff. It's creating confusion. It's creating fear. And there was no legal basis for what they were saying based on the presumption of how it was going to take place. You can't have two different currency designations for a single paper currency. It just legally doesn't exist. Yes, there's a very high probability the IQD will be reclassified as the IQN. But you cannot legally be in a situation to walk in a bank and have a situation that there's going to be a difference of literally millions of dollars based on whether or not you say IQN versus IQD. That is not going to happen. There isn't a bank out there that would do that. They would set themselves up for so many lawsuits. And I write about that in my letter. So
okay.
Does that make sense? Yeah.
Yeah.
If it makes you feel better, you know, do it. But my this is information coming down from supposedly high-level bankers that these people are writing on the blog site, and it's just plain stupid. It doesn't make sense. And so what I was saying is I'm beginning to question their sources of information because this is happening over and over and over again. And these bloggers hold to it as though it's gospel and it's absolute and you must do this. And it's just legally doesn't make sense.
So it sounds
that's my premise.
It sounds like amongst the bloggers there may be those that are still injecting a little fear into the thing. Or the inside bankers may be injecting a little fear into it for their own purposes.
Well, I do. And Barbara, that's what I say in my, you know, in my newsletter. So I'd say, you know, go to my blog site. It's the newsletter that, and I wrote on two newsletters ago, and I bring up this whole issue, and you know, and just you know, you can read through. I go into much more detail there.
Okay, I will look that up.
And it makes a lot more sense. Okay,
right.
And I
thank
you know,
you
encourage
so much.
You know the folks listening. Okay, anything else?
Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Barbara. Okay,
thank you.
Okay, we're going to go on to another caller here, and I am going to Michael from area code 214. Michael, welcome on the air tonight. And where are you calling from, Michael?
Yeah, I'm from the Dallas area today, but I just wanted to give you some information. I was part of the Desert Storm group that was in Kuwait Liberation.
That's the original one in 1990, right?
Right. We had the 1991 Liberation of Kuwait. At that time, we had gotten some of the Kuwaiti dinar, and it devalued, of course, when Saddam Hussein went in there and disrupted the country. But I was fortunate to get some of the dinar and bring it back with me, and I held on to it for a little while, and I was able to exchange it. And there was a lot of us that did it, and it just seemed that it was just very, no one really knew what was going on, and no one ever seen it. No one heard about it. So, you know, all this hype about everybody's going to be upset and when you find out about it, well, yeah, but I don't think it's going to be highly publicized unless we really just open our mouths to it. I know when we did our Kuwait dinar, there was no big deal, and we made pretty big return on our money.
Yeah, thank you for calling, Michael. I'm really glad that you did that. What was the difference of the rates before and after, and did it change overnight? My understanding is yes, it did.
Yes, it did. What it did, it was in the 340s,
mm-hmm.
and then it dropped to zero, And then we picked it up for, oh, I don't know, we picked it up for like $100,000 for like $50. And then we went
and
immediately
then,
to 350, 352.
Yeah, that's what I read reports on various blog sites and on Wikipedia about the history. And you're confirming basically what I read, is that you could buy it for about 6 cents, and then overnight it turned out to be 350.
Yes.
Now, here's my thought on the difference on that, Michael, is that was a very short, small window. And what the reports were is that there wasn't a lot of it available. So it wasn't something that a lot of people participated in. It was somewhat difficult to get a hold of it. And the difference between that and the dinar is there's millions of people involved in the dinar, and people have had 10 years or more to purchase it. And that's the difference. But supposedly the same exact thing is going to happen, and we have a plan in history when it did happen. And you've just confirmed it, and I thank you for that.
My other concern is, too, is, you know, everybody talks that it's anywhere from $340 to $28. You know, we can't really understand until it happens, but unless just like a private exchange. But we didn't think anything of it, you know. We just thought, well, maybe it might come back. Yeah, the Kuwaiti might just come back, and it just happened to come back because once they liberated the country and the king over there reinstated his government, everything went back to normal.
Right, and that's what's ready to happen with the dinar any day.
What I'm saying is, I don't understand where the $20 range comes in when it's going to be internationally rated at say 350 or whatever Kuwait is. I think they're at $4 right now. So
yeah.
You know, I don't understand. I understand what everybody's trying, wishing, hoping for, but you know, in reality, it looks like it, even if it comes in at the $350-$4 range, it's still not a bad deal. But I think everybody's getting really overly excited about the very high rates.
The way I understand it, Michael, and it's based on those that are in, you know, reporting on the blog sites, the difference is it has to do with the purchase of oil credits with the United States and China, and that Iraq wants these dinar back in country as quickly as possible, and they're willing to pay very handsomely for it. And the latest reports is it's only a 30-day window that those rates will be there, and then it will go away. And my understanding is it can only be done in the private transaction. If you were to take it into a teller window, you would get the street rate at the teller window, which is going to say it's probably going to be somewhere in that 340 to 350 range, because the Iraqi dinar is basically on par with the Kuwaiti dinar. They're both about the same, because they had been basically for decades, had always been about the same until the 1990 incident. And so the Kuwaiti dinar has always basically been the prototype of the value of the Iraqi dinar. And now that's how I see it, Michael. I see.
Right.
If you were to ask me a scenario based on what I've been reading on the blog sites, I would say you can take it into the teller window and you're going to get your 340 to 350 rate. Or you can go into this private group meeting that will come through the 800 number, and for a 30-day window you can get as high as $25 or $28. But it's only going to be a very short, quick window. And the reason that the rates are very high is because it has to do with the oil credit exchanges for both the United States and China and what they're doing with Iraq.
Okay,
and
now
that's
on
the
dong.
That's the reason behind the higher value.
Right, now on the dong, now that's just going to be a global normal check, because they've been undervalued for years because now they have an economic system in there. And they're doing a lot of resources mining and stuff. And, of course, you know, since the Vietnam War, they were very kind of an underrated country.
Yes.
So
if it goes to asset-backed currency, see, then the dong just explodes in value. Because, as I mentioned earlier, they're the second largest rice-producing country in the world, and rice is the world's largest food commodity.
Right, just like our wheat. Right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Okay, anything else I can with Michael?
Thank you.
I really appreciate your calling in and confirming that. I really appreciate that. I mean, I've read it. I hadn't talked with anybody who actually did it, and you have, and I'm glad to hear that. It's really helpful for me. So appreciate your call.
All right, thank you. Bye.
Okay, good night. Okay, folks, I'm down to the point where I have just a little over 9 minutes left here on the program tonight. I got one more caller that I'm going to would be willing to take in. And actually, they had I'm noticing that, Penny, you're talking to them right now. And what I'm going to go ahead, I'm just going to go ahead and come right on in. It's a caller from area code. That is the area code is 619. And I have just brought you on the air. And give us your name and where you're from.
My name is Christian. I'm in San Diego.
Hi, Christian. How are you? What can I help you with today?
Hi, thanks. Yes, I'm pretty fairly new to this, and I know you have a lot of information on your site from just hearing you tonight. I have two quick questions. How do I get into your group rate, and where's the best site to buy Dinar and Dong?
Okay. The group rate, you want to go to dinarrecaps.com, and you sign up for their newsletter that will put you on the list that they will release the 800 number to. Now, I want to be really clear about this. They are not an organized group. They are nothing more than an information source that will allow a group of us to call this 800 number and have a private setting. There's no official group. There's no official organization around that. It's just an excess of information. And that's where you will, and that, and you're going to be far, far better to be on the air about that. And let's see, I'm going to go ahead and bring you back on there. You see, is this Christian again?
Yes.
Are you there?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
yes.
Penny accidentally kind of cut you off there for a little bit, which you've done. So that's what you do. And if you want to know where to purchase them, send me an email,
daveschmidt@msn.com,
and I'll respond back to that. Out of courtesy, I don't want to give those names on the air. There's nothing wrong with those people, but as soon as I say one, then I get accused of being extremely favorable to everybody else.
I understand.
And so I say, send me an email, and then I'll give you the information. Okay?
Okay, great. Appreciate that. Just get on their newsletter and just hold tight.
Get on their newsletter. Hold tight. The 800 number will be sent out to that. There's one of the bloggers are saying it's going to happen tonight after the president signs the bill. Who knows? I'll release it, you know, through my newsletter list, and I'll put you on my newsletter list as well. So you'll get it. You'll hear about it from two or three different sources. So.
Great. Appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Great. Thanks a lot. Okay. Good night. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, folks, I'm down to about 7 minutes left. I already did my wrap-up talks. I already said basically everything I needed to do. I don't have any more callers in line. Penny, are you seeing anybody else that looks like they're wanting to talk to? I'm not seeing anybody else. Are you? Well, okay. Well, thank you very, very much, folks. Really appreciate wonderful program tonight. We'll be back on the air again next week. We'll continue to talk about this. Hopefully, next week we'll be talking about the transition. What do you do after you've had your money? What will you do then? So hopefully that's what's going to happen then next week. Okay? So I've only got about 5 minutes left. I'm ready to just call it a night, folks. Okay? So I want to thank you very much. This is Dave Schmidt with the Sedona Connection. Love you all. Folks, who wants to be a millionaire? It's about ready to happen. It's going to happen sometime. Right? Love you all. Look forward to seeing you all next week. Thanks a lot. Okay. Good night, folks.